Thank you, Chris. Good morning. As Chris said, I'm Ali. For those of you who don't know, I've been sort of overseeing the worship team here at St. Matt's for about, I guess, 2 or 3 years. And if you weren't here last week, Chris was introducing what we're talking about at the moment. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about what characterizes us, what our key values are as a church. And as Chris has said, one of the things he asked me to speak on is worship. And so, you know, we're going to look at why worship is a key value for us at St. Matt's. We could be looking at what worship is or how we do worship, but I think today we're going to be looking at why worship is a key value for us. I've been coming here, I think, about 14 years. And one of the things I love about St. Matt's is that as a church we love to worship. I mean, we've just seen it now. We love to worship, and we desire to make worship key and a priority in what we do. And you only have to look at what we do. So you had Revive yesterday, didn't we? And that would have started with worship. We have our prayer meetings, they always have worship. The kids up in Bright at the moment, they will be worshiping just as we've been worshiping just now. And I love being a church that loves to worship. I think it's really, really key. And so I thought we'll look at, like I say, why worship is important. Why is it a value? Why do we want to make it the thing that characterizes us as a church? So I thought we'd start off with a very simple, very, very frivolous question. What is your purpose in life? It's a simple question, isn't it? What is your purpose in life? Let's start easy. I was thinking about it, and often when we talk about what our purpose in life is, we're thinking about what we're going to be, don't we? We say, oh, what am I going to be in life? And that kind of made me laugh because, that reminds me of what it's like to be a child. When you're a kid, what did you want to be in life? Maybe you wanted to be like an astronaut. Maybe you wanted to be like a fireman. I don't know, sort of. But when I was a teenager, I got called in to see the careers advisor, and I was asked, Alistair, what do you want to be? And at the time, I really loved the film industry, and I thought that'd be great to get involved with that. And I knew the job I wanted to do, and I was pretty sure of the title. So with a huge amount of confidence, I said, sir, I want to be a pyromaniac. Now, apparently, the term is pyrotechnician. It's the guy who does all the little special effects and the sort of explosions. You know, suffice to say, the careers advisor never spoke to me again. I think he put me on one of those like little sort of Asbo watch lists. Watch this pupil. Although I was thinking about it, the other person who's a pyromaniac, I could have been, he should have directed me to be a chemistry teacher like Mark Lavender, but that's just suddenly realising that. But you know, when we're thinking about our purpose, I don't think the question is, what do you want to be? I think the question, actually, when we look through the Bible, when we talk about our purpose, the question should be, what were you created for? What were you created for? And what I love is the Bible has lots of things to say about that. And we did a sort of a course with the worship team last sort of term, wasn't it? Yeah. And one of the things we looked at was Psalm 100. And Psalm 100 is this amazing psalm. I'd encourage you to go home and read it because it's all about worship. It's about bringing God praise. But in the middle of that, it says something interesting. It says that God calls us to know that we are His and to know that He is God. God calls us to know that He is God and that we are His. And you know, I think that's our purpose in life. Our purpose in life is to have this amazing relationship with God, this incredible relationship with God that impacts every part of our life. God calls us to know that He is God and that we are His, to enter into this incredible relationship with Him. And you know, God created you and God created me to be in this amazing relationship with Him as our Heavenly Father, a relationship that works at every level on our hearts and our minds and our souls. You know, we just sung it. We just sung, You're the Lord of all creation and still You know my heart. We've just sung, unveil in us why we're made. You know, we're declaring it in our worship. And I believe that if that is our purpose, then worship is the conduit to that. You know, worship is the key element to our purpose in life. So I guess let's start just briefly. Let's think, what is worship? And I was trying to think, what is a good sort of definition of worship, and the one that comes up in the Bible lots and lots, and I think it's really helpful, is the idea of worship, is that we could say this: worship is the idea of glorifying God, giving glory to God, celebrating God, commending God. So to what we can say, to worship is to glorify God. And if we sort of understand that, we see some really interesting things crop up in the Bible. So Ephesians says that right at the beginning, it says our very existence is to be as a praise for his glory, this idea of glorifying God. And in fact, when Jesus talks in the middle of John, Jesus talks about his death. He starts talking about his purpose in life. He says, this is my purpose in life. He said, for this very reason I came. And he's talking about his death, and he says, he starts talking about his death, and he's kind of going on about, he sort of says, should I be troubled about this? Should I be troubled that I'm going to die? And he says, no, for this very reason I came. I am on earth to die on the cross. And then he follows it up really interestingly. He follows it up straight away with, Father, glorify your name in my life. Jesus makes two statements. He says, this is my purpose in life. And very much tied into my purpose in life is, Father, glorify your name in my life. I don't know if you're the sort of people who feels you have lots of callings from God on your life. I'm not one of those people. I feel I've had very few callings in my life. But one of the things I do feel called into is worship, and is getting involved in the worship lives of organisations and churches. And you know, I felt I got called in a very specific time in my life where God started pulling out bits of the Bible and saying, Ali, this is what I want for you. And the bit of the Bible he pulled out was this thing of Jesus saying, for this reason I have come, you know, this is my purpose in life, God. And associating it with saying, Father, glorify your name in my life. And I just thought at that point, if Jesus felt the need to say, to look at his purpose in life and say, Father, glorify your name in my life, how much more do we need to be saying, Father, glorify your name in our lives? You know, the idea of worship and our purpose, it's innate, it's integral. And that's why we as a church, we seek to make worship a priority. Because if it is our purpose in life, then surely it should be the starting point. You know, Chris was saying, it goes hand in hand with what Chris was saying last week about his presence being our starting point. You know, worship, his presence, they are key starting points in what we do. And that's why we make it important. That's why we at St. Matt's want to make worship a priority. You know, one of the other things I love about this church, and I love about being part of St. Matt's, is that as a church, we are really passionate about what happens outside of this building. You know, we are really, really passionate about what goes on outside of this Sunday service. You know, if you doubt that, you only have to look at sort of, we had Libby speaking to us sort of last term, and she was talking about her passion against slavery. We've recently been focusing on the sort of the life and soul team, and you know, we're really blessed as a church to have a large number of their staff in our church, and they have a passion for young people outside this church in the locality. You know, as a church, we are passionate about what goes on outside of our church. And I think that reflects a really key reason why we also therefore make worship a priority. Jess read out the passage in Romans earlier, and I love that passage. It is one of my favourite passages in the Bible because it hints that worship is so much more about just what goes on in a Sunday service. It says, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. I love that. I got Jess to read it out of the Message translation because I think those words just bring a normality to what God calls us to. You know, God calls us to the extraordinary, but it happens in our everyday, ordinary lives. And it's really interesting because in the NIV, rather than saying place it before God as an offering, it says this is your true and proper worship. In the King James Version, it says this is your spiritual act of worship. You know, I love it because the author of Romans, he knows that worship is fundamental to how we live our lives. And I guess one of the challenges we need to sort of ask ourselves is, if worship is just this little sort of Sunday service thing that we do, then I really feel it. And if our purpose is to have this dynamic relationship with God that impacts all our lives, then if we just restrict it to a Sunday service, then I really feel we are missing out on the fullness of what God has intended for us. There's a guy called Simon Ponsonby, and he's got this amazing quote. It's a bit long, but we'll go through it because I think it really shares and explains this idea of worship being about more than what we do here. He says, worship is not limited to singing songs, but is a life poured out in holiness, obedience, service, almsgiving, mission, sharing the gospel with the lost, sharing our bread with the poor, sharing our lives with one another. I believe God receives glory by the very birth of an infant, by bees making honey, by husband and wife making love, when the painter paints, the teacher teaches, the singer sings, the architect designs, and the athlete competes. Worship in song, in verbal praise, is one part, a significant part of worship, of glorifying God, but it's not the only one. Love that quote. Think for a moment what you're passionate about. What is it that you're passionate about? Maybe think for a moment about your workplace, about your homes, about your families. You know, in the next hour or so, that's not the length of my talk. I'm not trying to challenge Chris for that prize. But in the next hour or so, you know, we are going to be walking out of this building, and your Sunday worship, you know, will be done. What's going to happen for the rest of the week? You know, God calls us to glorify Him in all aspects of our lives. You know, singing, when we do song worship, it is important. It's really important when we come together. And I'll touch upon that later. But God calls us to worship Him in all of our lives. I've had a dull week at work. I started the week and I had to do the singularly most menial of jobs. It was really boring. It's not been a good week work-wise. If you know me well, you know that I'm a mental fidget, that I can't stay focused on. I mean, really, just feel sorry for Han, because I can't stay focused on one thing, and it's just awful. And at work, I was kind of like sitting there at the beginning, faced with this task, and I was just like, it's a bit dull. Temptation is kind of to, let's go and surf the internet, or I don't know what you do at work when you find things are dull, but this came back to me. I'd been thinking about this talk, and it's, you know, this idea of glorifying God in our lives. Suddenly, you know, that idea of Father, glorify Your name in my life. That means the menial tasks that I'm doing as well. That means the dull tasks, and I don't know how that works out, because I think it's a process, isn't it? But when we start our day by saying, Father, glorify Your name in our lives, it sort of changes our mindset to the day. When we go into conversations with our friends and with our families, we say, Father, you know, glorify Your name in my life. Then, something different is happening in our intention. Something different is happening in the way we're going to be approaching stuff. I'm really not saying like we go into work and go, He's given me a garment of praise instead of, I really don't go into work and sing, you'll be ostracized. But I'm not saying that's what our worship is. Our worship is something more subtle than that, you know. And I think we should be asking that question. In fact, we sung earlier from the song 10,000 Reasons. And I think this is just a fantastic prayer we could probably start our days with. I've just paraphrased it slightly. But, you know, when we start days, why don't we pray this? Why don't we say, the sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to glorify You again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be glorifying You when the evening comes. Shouldn't that be our prayer? Don't we think that's a great prayer to start our days with? You know, we value worship in St. Matt's Because we understand that God calls us to a relationship that exceeds these walls and this Sunday service. And you know, I really believe that when we acknowledge that, when we acknowledge that God wants to impact all our lives, we will start to see that worship also has the power to transform. You know, when we read that passage in Romans, the second part of it is as interesting as the first part, because it says that when we offer up our day-to-day lives to God, when we fix our attention on Him, we will start to be changed from the inside out. You know, we don't just sing about God. We don't just sing about God. We sing to God. I think there's something really interesting that happens when we worship. You know, as we start to worship, I feel when we worship and we praise God and we glorify His name, something interesting happens. God reveals more of who He is to us. Does that happen for you? I feel it happens for me. We worship and we see something more of who God is. And do you know what? We're awestruck. We go, oh my goodness, God, You are even more amazing than I previously have known. And what is our response to that? More worship. You know, we praise God. And what happens when we worship? God reveals more of who He is to us. And we go, oh my goodness, God, You are even more amazing than I previously knew. You are incredible. And what is our response? It's more worship. And there's this amazing chain reaction of worship and revelation, you know, into which we are drawn close to God. There was a guy called A.W. Tozer, and he talks about worship being something that originates from God and comes to us, and we reflect it back as a mirror. He understands that there's this innate thing of worship where we get this sort of this worship and revelation going on. And you know, as we know more of God, we know more of His heart. And as we are drawn closer to Him, our hearts are drawn closer to His heart. And you know what? We begin to change. You know, when we sing, "Your heart is for the brokenhearted," we suddenly realize something of God's compassion and desire to comfort the destitute and the broken, how He longs to restore the brokenhearted. So, you know, we begin to seek those who are alongside us, that are brokenhearted, that are lonely, that are disenfranchised. We seek to stand with them, all because we've just started singing, "Your heart is for the brokenhearted," and God can use that to change our hearts, to show us what His heart is. You know, when we sing, "Your grace is enough," we suddenly understand that God is an ever-loving God. God's grace is greater than anything that we ourselves can do. And maybe you're the sort of person who goes, I'm sorry, God, there's no way that You can love me for what I've done. There's no way that I can have that relationship with You because you don't know, You've seen what I've done. But we sing, "Your grace is enough," and suddenly God reveals, actually, no, My love is greater than all You have done. And we are changed. In fact, you know, that is why we gather together as a church. That is why we sing and lift up His name. That's why we glorify God together. That's why it's important we do that beyond just going out. It's important we come together because as a body of Christ, when we come together and we worship, we collectively glorify God. We collectively have God's heart revealed to us. You know, when we sing, "Your heart is for the brokenhearted," as a body of Christ, God says, yes, it is. What are You going to do about it? And as a church, we are moved. And it's not just us that changes. We as a church will be changed. Our hearts will be changed. And because if you combine that with the fact that we want to take worship outside of this building, our worship outside of this building, then our lives will be changed and those around us will be changed. We'll see transformation in our families, in our home lives. When we say, God, glorify your name in our lives. We'll see transformation in our communities. When we fix our attention on God and he changes us. Actually, we'll want to get alongside people and see that change in them as well. You know, and because, yeah, and as a church, we value worship. We want to make it a key priority in all we do. Because it's what we were created to do. You know, because it is about so much more than this church. It is about all our lives. Because it reaches beyond the Sunday service. And we will see transformation. You know, I'd encourage you to make worship a priority in your lives. Let's step together wholeheartedly into this relationship that God is calling us to. Let's begin our days by saying, God, glorify your name in my life. You know, I really pray that as we worship in our day-to-day lives, we will find ourselves drawing closer to him. And we will find ourselves seeing that transformation that God so longs to bring into our day-to-day, ordinary lives. Let's pray. Yeah, we seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you are our joy and our prize. Father, would you take our worship, would you take our day-to-day lives, our ordinary worship, and impact it in all our lives, Father. Would you help us to make worship so much about more than what we're doing today. Let today be a starting point, God. A great starting point. But Father, would you be with us in the next 6 days as well? Father, would you glorify your name in our lives? Amen.